It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah, here we go. A little Brown time. Top story, BT and Sal. Brandon, Tierney, Sal, the Cotta Show. Get back to these calls in a moment. Top story of the day for me, Pete Alonso. And there was a big Pete Alonso sighting, certainly last night in Queens with five ribbies as the Mets paced a bad Nationals team. But that's kind of secondary stuff at this point, although a win in a pennant race isn't secondary, but you know what I mean. Pete has been wildly disappointing this season. Pete has been, and Sal and I have talked about this a million times, Lindor, Vientos, obviously a bunch of pitchers. Hell, basically everybody but Pete has had a ton of J.D. Martinez for a minute with that walk-off, right? His influence as a veteran. Everybody has had more influence, seemingly, than Alonso has on the season. So with Lindor banged up now, and we don't know the extent of it, the Mets felt compelled, for whatever reason, I mean, Mets brass right now, Stearns and Mendoza, to address the team yesterday. And since he got here, there's one thing we know that Pete Alonso does really well. That's put balls in the seat. And the other thing we know that he's not very good at is communicating with a microphone, or at least, you know, coming across as a natural speaker. I don't know how natural it sounded. It didn't need to sound natural. He spoke up, jumped out of his comfort zone, and talked to his team and implored them to finish the race, let's go, and then went out there. Wasn't empty rhetoric or words. He had a three-run bomb, put up five ribbies, Mets won. Alonso's pulling out of the station.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see it, actually. I'd like to see that.
Last night.
And it's one game. I just love the overreaction by everybody, and this is me saying that. I love the overreaction from everybody. Oh, Pete, now he's back. Oh, look at that. He had some things to say in the meeting. And the meeting is what it is. To me, it's not as important as the first meeting that they had, or the popular meeting, the one that everybody was talking about with Lindor and J.D. Martinez when they were 11 games under. That changed the season. This is not that. This was a different thing. Now, whether it was because of the severity of Lindor's injury or just, you know, getting down to the final couple of weeks of the season, whatever it may be, what Pete said was fine. And then, yeah, he went out there and drove in five runs. That's fine. But I still need to see it with Pete. The sentiment around Alonso, oh, this is going to get him going all year long. Oh, Pete's got the ability to go on a heater for a month and carry this team. He could go on a hot stretch for a few weeks and carry this team when they're going to need it. Well, there's 11 games left, and he's yet to do it. Last night was a singular game. Pete has done this before in singular games, especially when you're talking about, like, it wasn't even a big home run. They were up 6-1, and he had to throw it home. It's not a big home run. It's not an impactful home run. That's a tack-on home run. Now, it's still a home run. He's got 33 of them, but I'd like to see Pete actually do it before I start to go nuts. What he does against Philadelphia, and maybe even more importantly against Atlanta, that's going to be where I judge Pete Alonso's season ultimately. We know it's been a disappointing season. He could save it if he gets hot now through the end of the season into the playoffs, but I need to see it, BT.
Yeah, and listen, this is not about suddenly, hey, Pete deserves 6, 7, 8 years. No, I'm never going to change my tune on that, because I've dug in, you know, deeply on that based on baseball reasons, not ever anti-Pete, but his age and his position, righty stick, trends with contracts, look around baseball. It has been very different last couple of years. As Bellinger, I know Chapman just got the deal a month or so ago for the Giants, but he basically had to take a weird deal to go there in the first place, and they're begging people to stay there because their city's a disaster. I look at the first meeting that you just referenced, all right? Yeah, there's no doubt to me that's the impetus to the Mets' elevation this year. And it was run by Lindor, and it was run by J.D. Martinez when Pete was at the hospital after he got drilled in the hand. That's true. And how they played since that backs up that statement. But that doesn't mean that Pete and his role yesterday in the meeting can't elevate the season further. I got news for everybody. The Mets are going to win 90 games without Pete even being Pete. If Pete's about to jump off, I mean, this thing is on.
Yeah, well, but again, it's if hypothetical.
I understand that.
To date, he hasn't done anything. And even last night, that like hitting a three-run homer, a meaningless, no home run is really meaningless, but in a game that's 6-1, the Mets had that game in hand. The game was over at that point, so the three-run homer is not a big deal for me. You want to get caught up on the bloop single that drove in a couple runs? That was more impactful than the three-run homer, which was not impactful. At that point, the game was out of hand. So, like last night, individually against the Nats, yes, Pete Alonso was good. He needs to do it tonight against the Phillies, against the Braves. He has not done it for a long stretch this year at all. That's what we need to see from Pete Alonso. And until he does it, I can't come on here and say again, well, he's going to do it. Because I've said that before, and it didn't work out. Oh, maybe this is the time where Alonso's going to get hot and carry the team. Maybe now is where Pete's going to get hot and carry the team. And he just hasn't done it. He hasn't been clutch at all year long.
All right. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, one thing in addition to this, and I was guilty of this, like I had a tendency, partly out of desperation, but also, you know, you're going to react to something good. I like elevating Zach Wilson after a good game or a good series or a good drive or two. This is not that. I mean, Zach Wilson was a player. I'm just pulling Zach out of thin air. Zach was a guy, a young player who hadn't earned the benefit of the doubt, had zero stripes in the city outside of getting drafted number two overall. To think that Pete Alonso can't smash six home runs in the next 13 games and do something comparable in October is not a stretch because right. He's done it.
Correct. He could do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right, but we've been saying that all year long. Like, we've been saying that at the very least back to June or July. Hey, Pete could get hot any moment. All it takes is one. A little bloop, a little blast. Maybe you get going. Been saying that for months. There's 11 games left. Like, at some point, it actually has to happen. Now, for him, maybe there's going to be 11 games plus the postseason, and that will ultimately mean even more. If Pete Alonso goes on a Daniel Murphy-type run in October, this year, the regular season will be forgotten. So it is all out there in front of him. He can do it. He just has to actually do it. And instead of us talking about, well, he could do it because he's done it before, yeah, well, do it. How about you just do it? There's 11 games to go. What are you waiting for? It's in there, right? He can do it. Well, why not just do it?
You're not impressed with the meeting? You're not impressed with his role? That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. If he just hits the home run and there's no meeting,
yeah,
I'm not saying we're not reacting to it. Mets still, you know, banged out 14 hits. They beat up on a bad team. They jumped on them. You know, the Diamondbacks lost, Braves lost. Things are going well. But the reason why this just feels bigger, and maybe I'm elevating it, but the reason why this feels bigger to me is because he deviated from his comfort zone. This man does not like speaking like this.
Well, how do you know
that?
And
he never does it.
Where are we getting that he doesn't like it?
Anytime a microphone's in front of his face, he sounds lost.
No, I think that's just
his
personality.
Come on, dropping F-bombs with Gelbs. He's just so awkward. I don't even care about that.
Yeah,
but like, he's awkward. He never sounds...
Right, but it doesn't mean...
He's a cliche machine.
But it doesn't mean that he doesn't like speaking to his team. Like, before Lindor got here, I think Pete was one of the faces, one of the vocal leaders.
And he lost it that quick. If you lose it that quick, then you never were one of the vocal leaders or voices.
Well,
you don't lose it because somebody else. Now, you might share the role. You don't lose it. It doesn't dissipate.
I don't think he was ever taken seriously as a leader, but
he doesn't present it like a leader.
But he's certainly vocal. So when you say, like, he's afraid to step up, I don't get that sense that he's afraid to talk in front
reluctant.
Of the microphone.
Maybe, you know, Sal, maybe afraid's the wrong word. Reluctant.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. I don't mean to inject fear. I don't mean that. I'm not implying that at all. But uncomfortable. Just, you know, you watch Lindor. He's there. His body language is comfortable. He's just chilling. He's very conversational. Pete looks very tense and just like searching for the right thing. I don't think it comes natural to him.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a leader. I don't think he ever was, and he's not going to be. And that's why, you know, the meeting that Lindor and J.D. Martinez had months ago, that was a meeting where you needed a leader to step up and say, hey, guys, this is what we need to do, blah, blah, blah. For whatever reasons that they said, take the pressure off. This was not that. Pete was just saying how he wanted to celebrate with the guys and trying to rally the troops a little bit. I'm not putting too much stock in that meeting, thinking it's going to change the season or whatever. He said what he had to say. Good for him. And I think it was a good thing. And he should say that because he didn't get to celebrate in 2022 when they wasted an opportunity to celebrate. Now you got to go finish the job.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Go do it. Go finish the job. Go beat the Braves. That's what I want to see.
I'm thinking it's going to free him up a little bit. Well, we'll see. Richie and East Islip. Rich, BT and Sal, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys. It's been a while. So I just got off SeatGeek. I bought my son and his two friends for Saturday. Put them out in right field. They're $174 each ticket.
Whoa!
So
what?
Yeah, each ticket. So it was $521 I just paid
for Mets Phillies.
That's horrible. You got screwed,
Mets,
man.
Phillies in right field. What do you mean I got screwed? I went on the site. There was only three seats that were available.
Yeah, and you got screwed on three. $540 for three seats.
So now listen, yeah. I don't even care about
in
that.
The outfield.
Look, the
okay.
But then you know what? It's Bryce Harper. My son. We live in, you know where I live, Sal, in the East Islip area. He gets on a freaking train because he loves his team. So, you know, I put him in there out of support anytime they want to go. He's been to, like, 15 games already this year. And, you know, they just love this team because, you know, the whole vibe of the team. But, you know, as a parent that supports it, and, you know, we love my team and whatever it is, because I do feel good about this team this year. It's a feel-good team this year.
You should, yeah.
I just feel... Yeah, I just like what pop up Pete, pile on Pete, all of these things that you like. Brandon, you're out of your mind if you think that he's just going to go on some run right now and carry this team. It's not happening.
Well, Rich,
I hate saying it.
Yep. Here's the thing.
I want to hear what you have to say because I don't think it's happening.
It's very simple. I'm going to say that there's a good chance that you're wrong. Like, there's a good chance that I'm wrong.
Well,
nobody knows what he's going to
do. Body of work.
No, Richie, nobody knows what he's going to do. I'm going to grant you that. I'm not going to, you got to go 9-for-12 or 1-for-16. Who the hell knows? All I'm saying is he's had an incredibly disappointing season. He has been along for the ride the entire season without doing much, despite 33 fairly hollow home runs.
But the clutch hit was a swibber over the first baseman. Yeah.
Okay, so now we made
excuses. He hit a home run off of a utility player last weekend.
Clemens, yeah.
I mean, you're totally, what do we call? Yeah, I mean, it's not, you shouldn't even
wait,
count
Rich,
the
Rich,
home
hold
run.
On a sec, Rich, you can live. Rich, you can live all you want. Rich, you can live all you want. You're the one who sounds crazy, not me, because you're the Mets fan, and you're basically saying, without saying it, that Pete Alonso does nothing. So you can laugh like a hyena, but you're making no sense right now.
But I'm saying to you, you're saying he's going to be the leader to carry the team, and I'm laughing at that because I don't. That's like saying Sal is a good head coach.
No, it's not. Rich, it's not like that because Robert Sala hasn't demonstrated once that he's remotely competent as a head coach, and Pete Alonso.
What about Pete doing the Atlanta Braves series 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
needed
him in it?
What he bounces around crazy, Rich.
I'm more with Rich here, BT,
I don't even know what Rich is saying.
Well,
how could you be with him?
Well, here's what he's trying to
what
say.
What is he saying?
You're saying that Alonso
said
has
nine things, starting with tickets for $540.
Well, that I don't understand. I think, Rich, you got to try to search the market a little bit better.
He's making it seem like you got a deal. You get screwed. Three seats in right field. $550. Wow. Good deal there, Richie.
Maybe that's what it costs. I don't know.
And by the way, I respect that he's doing it for his kids. Yeah. If you've got the means, that's awesome, Rich. I'm not taking you a shot at it. That's great that you're sending your son and his boys, but it's not a good deal. Anyway, good stuff.
Yeah, I would just assume you should be able to find tickets cheaper than that. But anyway, who knows?
$4 last night.
Maybe it's first. Who knows? Whatever. He said Saturday against the Phillies, maybe because of Bryce Harper. Who the hell knows? Nah. Whatever. Good for you, Richie, if you could do it. Hopefully your son has fun. Here's where I'm with Rich. Last night, the clutch hit that Alonso had was a blooper to right field. Like, excuse me, fisted to right field, dropped in. Now, it happened. You give him credit for it, but it wasn't like Pete laced one in the gap and would give you signs of encouragement. The big home run that he had was when the game was already out of hand, so I agree with him there. Also, based on this year, where every time Pete gets a hit or a home run, it's like, oh, maybe this is a... Hasn't happened. There's 11 games to go. Why are we supposed to believe now that it will?
Because
now,
he's been really good before.
Well,
really good before.
Now, to your point, he's done it in his career.
Yep.
which is why you think at any moment he can pop off as opposed to pop up, which he's done, I mean, too many times this year. So yes, could it happen? Sure, because we've seen the ability from Pete to do that. We just haven't seen it this year. Based on this year, I have no reason to believe that Alonzo's
No, I understand that, but
around.
Richie kept going back to things in the past years ago.
Aren't you going back to things in the past years ago saying when he's going to get it going? Because he hasn't done it this year. Last year he hit 217.
Well, yes, but I mean, newsflash for everybody. Baseball's a sport of failure. I mean, look it up. Willie Mays, postseason average, not good. Mm-hmm. OPS below 600. Look it up. Ted Williams, not many opportunities. Did nothing, though. Aaron Judge has done nothing for the most part in the postseason. Barry Bonds, for the most part, did nothing in the postseason. I mean, come on. This is baseball. This is not like LeBron or Michael or Bird or Magic or Kareem. Like the NBA showing up and scoring 35 points like you do in the regular season. I mean, you could be the best player in the world, and you could go 2 for 31. Dave Winfield, I mean, a Hall of Famer, 3,000 hits. He can run. He can hit. He had a rocket. He hit 130 in the World Series. George called him Mr. April, Mr. May. And I'm not even a big Pete Alonzo. Why am I defending Pete today?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because I think that you guys are, I think that you're missing it. I think that he's missing it. I understand that you're fed up with the season that he's given you, and we all know he ain't getting 7 or 8 years. But to speak or to think that Pete Alonso is incapable of going nuts for 3 weeks is insane. Have you watched him play?
Yes, unfortunately. Nobody's saying that he's incapable of it. I'm saying that he hasn't actually done it. There's 11 games left. At what point is he actually going to do it? I mean, now or never, big boy. Now or never. Congrats, big three-run homer last night to give the Mets a 9-1 lead over the crappy Nationals. How about you do it again? How about you do it in Philadelphia? How about you do it in Atlanta? That's what I'm saying. I need to actually see it before I just all of a sudden say, you used the word yesterday, blind faith. I know Pete's resume,
yep.
But this year, based on what he's done, I think it would be blind faith at this point to think that he's going to turn it on with the 11 games.
Yeah, I mean, that you lost me again. That's like me getting on we'll get to the Yankees in a bit. Hey, I think Alex Verdugo is going to carry the Yankees to championship. Now, to me, that's blind faith. I understand now it's been on pause this year, but it's not blind when you've been here, what, 7 years, however many years it is, and you've been a borderline Hall of Famer, basically every one of them? I don't think that's blind.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL match up like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
blind faith. I'm not even a big Pete fan.
And it takes a knee, and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bombers take on Pittsburgh at the stadium. That is Saturday, September 28th. Right now, we'll do call the number 10 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. It's a chance to win now. BT and Sound on the Fan. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and The Fan. And make sure you guys tune in again tomorrow, same time, right around 12:30 or so, a little bit before, with us, BT and Sal, another chance to win. So, obviously a heavy Mets day, but some really good stories if you stayed up to watch the Yanks last night, and obviously many of you diehards did, even if you didn't make the entire game, which I did not. I watched part of it. You know, Dominguez finally popped one here, and he got loose, and hit one straightaway center. Judge is hot again. There's some good stories developing with the Yankees. Luis Gil was very good. And, you know, now you're starting to get a little separation of this Orioles team, and it's almost becoming anticlimactic. It's odd.
Yeah, and twofold. The Orioles stink. They're done. And put a fork in them. But more so, and more importantly, the Yankees finally, BT, starting to gel and click and look like the team we expected them to look like. Now, will that hold up here for the final, you know, 10 games or 11, whatever it is, into the postseason? Yet to be determined, but at least right now it seems like they're playing their best brand of baseball at the right time, which is refreshing to see.
Yeah, I mean, Gleyber Torres, who's been the source of much consternation from us and from a lot of fans, taking a lot of calls on, you know, those bouts of lack of focus. He's hit really well for a while now. I'd say it's been about a good 6-7 weeks where he's been pretty locked in. So the Yankees are starting to pick up a little steam here. We're joined by the great Susan Waldman. We'll do it every single Wednesday throughout what hopefully is a run through number 28. What's happening, Susan? How you doing today?
Consternation. It's too early in the morning out here to use a word like consternation.
I know. Sal has no four-syllable words, so I have to insert a few.
I heard you just talking about Gleyber. This has been since they put him in the leadoff spot. Yeah. You can trace it right to there. He's batting about .320 since he went into the leadoff spot.
Yeah, he has. He's been really... I mean, it's interesting. You talk to Boone and all the players all the time. I mean, mechanically, I don't think much has changed. Is it as simple as getting better pitches with the big boys behind them?
Yes, and when I asked Boone about that, well, I said to him, oh, I guess it was last week, he's much better since you put him in the leadoff spot. And he said to me, how do you know I didn't put him in the leadoff spot because he was much better?
Well, there's statistics that can either reinforce that or refute that. So I'm going to have to dig into it a little bit and get the right answer.
But Aaron says that he looks at things before. He could tell 2 days before in batting practice that this one's going off on a tear. This one's going off on a tear. And I do believe him because Joe Torre used to predict it all the time. But Gleyber also, if you notice the three great defensive plays last night, if you guys stayed up, I don't know if you did, but he made three sparkling plays at second base. And that is, it's so much focus with Gleyber. It really is. He's sensitive to everything. And it's so much focus with him because the talent is there and we've always known that.
So why, Susan, should we believe that he's going to be able to keep this focus? I mean, it's been great, but why should we believe he's going to keep this focus through the postseason for a change?
I don't know that you can. But it's part of his makeup, and who knows? Maybe this is the beginning of a run here. You know, you talk about, everyone's talking about Soto as a free agent. So is Gleyber Torres. So he'd better not go back into one of those little sections where he doesn't focus and misses plays and cuts in front of the shortstop and doesn't make the throw. He's got to think about that also.
Yeah, and maybe this is a little bit out of your lane. I'm not sure how comfortable you are. So just, you know, do what you got to do with it. I'm on the record. I would not re-sign Torres. I've seen too many intermittent bounce of focus and you know, erratic play. Do you think the Yankees, because I don't think, they tried to trade him to the Marlins 2 years ago, so they're obviously thinking kind of on some level what I've thought for a while. Do you think maybe this is changing their mind long term?
I think they're pretty made up of what they want to do, made up their mind, and have made it up long ago. But that's something, you don't know what happens. I mean, you don't know what happens. I don't know, is there a replacement waiting in the wings? I don't know. Can Caleb Durbin come up and play after? I don't know. But they have all these ideas, and then it happens or it doesn't. But Glaber is not only playing to stay here. And by the way, I mean, I think that a lot of it was one earlier on in the season when somebody wrote or said that the Yankees had no plan of re-signing him. This is all he's ever known since he came here. And though he hears those things and he loves it here. And he thinks it's his home. And guys do. And I know we don't get involved in all that. But, you know, this is a kid's life. He's 26.
Yeah.
He's been here for a very long time. And so, that got him down. I really think it affected him when he had heard that. Or what, I don't know who told him or whatever. But you could see a difference. And then sometimes you have to remember, you're not just playing for the New York Yankees. You're playing for 29 other teams that are looking to find you. And if you want to get a good job next year, you better play up to your potential.
Listen, definitely want to throw some other things at you, but you said something that really caught my ear. Talking to the great Susan Waldman every Wednesday, BT and South round the rest of the regular season, hopefully deep run into October. Yeah, we do often, not intentionally, but just the nature of what Sal and I do, and when you host a show, you kind of remove the human element, or you
sure.
don't incorporate it the way that maybe we should. Understood. But if he loves being a Yankee so much, then try hustling all the time.
Well, but I don't know that it's not hustle. It's not that. I mean, people used to say that Daryl Strawberry never hustled. Was that him not hustling? Does Jazz Chisholm hustle? You know, it's different ways that people play. And you try, and you're right about trying not to, you have to separate because you got a job to do. And it's hard because you know these people. And you know what they go through, and it's hard to do that. But it's not that simple. It's not like somebody said, "Oh, BT, you know, you're saying this word too much. Stop it. You've been saying whatever it is for 100 years, and you try, and then sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Gotcha.
I don't know. But
gotcha.
So Susan Soto has been unbelievable. Another milestone last night.
I know what's coming. The first thing, everybody looked at each other when he said it's a great way to go into free agency. You should have seen the looks on everybody's face. Yep.
Yeah, well, you should have seen the look on my face. And it was a little different from the people in that clubhouse, I bet you. But I kind of expected this, Susan. Him with Boris, the way they've operated here historically. I mean, Juan Soto wants to test the market, truly test the market. I know he's been a perfect Yankee and it seems great, but did those comments and the way that you've gotten to know Soto here over the course of the year, did they, I don't know, maybe change your opinion on how he's going to handle free agency? What do you think of what Soto said last night after the game?
No, it did not. He's 25 years old. He is way beyond his years in maturity. He knows exactly who he is, exactly what he wants, and he loves it here. But he's going to get his money. I'll bet he's going to get it here because he loves it here. And I know people have other money, but he's putting it out. So maybe somebody said, "Oh, we better give him $1.98 more yesterday." But by the way, this is—he's really something. I got to tell you something that I saw the other night because I asked the hitting coach James Rousen about it. I do pre-game, post-game down by the entrance to the Yankee dugout, and right next to me is a batting cage. And we're at 11 o'clock at night, and Soto's down there. After a game with both hitting coaches, and they're just soft tossing to him, and he's going through swings. And I asked the hitting coach, James Rousen, is something wrong? Is he working on something? And he said, no, he felt something in a swing that was great, and he wanted to see if he could keep replicating it.
Wow.
He's down there at 11 o'clock at night. Everybody's leaving. And he's down there with both hitting coaches because he wanted to replicate what he felt. He thought he felt something great. I mean, this is a tremendous player with a tremendous work ethic.
He's all ball. That's all there is to it. And for the quote, we're going to get to this coming up. We're going to take calls on this too because it is pretty meaty. So what Susan referenced, quote, "What a great way to go to free agency with all 30 ballparks checked off my list." Now, again, it's not wrong. It's not an overinflation, but it's an interesting way to characterize it. You know, A-Rod, Jeter, Giambi, when the Yankees got him from the A's for the big money. I don't think I've ever heard a free agent quite, or assumed to be free agent, quite position it that way. What does it mean? I don't know, but it's definitely a unique take on the accomplishment, at the very least, no?
Well, if nothing else, he just told every other team that, you know, go ahead, offer me the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I took out of it. He's very smart. He is really smart, and he is a real Boris guy. I will take you guys to dinner if he doesn't resign here. But I,
ooh, I like that. I get Soto at the Mets, and we get to go to dinner on Susan. Sign me
right
up.
You like Chick-fil-A, right?
Oh, Susan, come on. Hey, we'll get into
I'll take you to the Yankee press room. Yeah.
Hey, that works, too, as long as we get to hang out.
Was that just rescinded very quickly? It seems like it was.
I just want to confirm one thing, Susan. We heard the home run call from last night where you said he did it. There were a lot of potential, he did it there. So 40 home runs, 200 career, but the fact that he home run at every ballpark, was it the fact that he...
No.
Okay.
Yes, because he talked about it all spring.
Home run in every ballpark. Okay,
yeah, a home run in every ballpark. And it's not, so he's been thinking about this, and he wanted, and he loves the fact that it was, I love that he brought up that every ballpark is different, and there are different dimensions everywhere, so he can hit anywhere. He talked about it when I first met him. And I didn't know anything about him, but he was very clear on his goals. And now I said, last I was walking by, but I said, now you have to find new goals. Because he wanted to play in every ballpark, and he wanted to hit a home run in every ballpark. And he did it all this year. And those were his two goals when he went into spring training. And now he has to find some new goals.
Yeah.
Well, which I'm sure he will at the age of 25.
How about October goals? That's where you start, right? That's where you make the memories.
But he's already got a ring.
I'm talking about us. You don't care about the Nationals? Screw the Nationals.
I don't know. I have five.
Oh. Hey, by the way, I have a question for you, Susan. This is gonna, just indulge me for a moment. I would imagine the answer is no, but somebody said yes. So because I filled in for you those two games, okay, and was much below the bar that you've established, but I was in the booth for you. And if the Yankees win the World Series, somebody that night actually said that I'm entitled to a ring. Is that true?
I don't know. Wait a minute. You're entitled to a ring?
Yeah, because I...
For
you
two-game fan? Get the hell out of here.
Only two, but just somebody told me that.
No way.
I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. Well, see, they give it to a player. That's a player's thing. You're entitled to a ring if you come up for AAA and you play.
Got it. All right, so the answer
is... I'll ask if you like.
Yes.
Do you wear yours, Susan? Do you ever wear those rings?
Only the 96 ring.
Why, that one means
the
most?
Every now and then. That one means the most. It does. It just does.
God,
it
that was awesome.
The first, and nobody expected it, and it was it was different back then. That really was a family. Everybody, broadcasters and everything, and Joe Torre, and there was so much going on emotionally with that whole team, and nobody expected anything. And to watch a team that was supposed to do nothing come together a whole year and turn into what happened. 96 is every now and then. I did the 15th anniversary. I wore that one on Old Timers Day. But usually it's just the 96 ring if it's a special Yankee occasion.
BT and Sal on the fan. We're talking with Susan Wolman. How about Volpe, Susan? He's been out of the lineup now a couple of times in the last 8 days. What do you think here down the stretch? Is he going to get, is it guaranteed that Volpe's going to be the starting shortstop in the postseason every game?
Oh, yeah. I don't know every game, but yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, they're just trying to find a way. He's had hills and valleys. The hills are great, and the valleys are really low. And he's been up and down, and they try and pass it off. But I think a couple of days, and by the way, he's played every game until, I think he's started every game but three. And counting last night.
Well, that's why I asked, why now? Like, why? I get if you want to give the kid a breather, especially when he was struggling. I mean, he's been struggling the majority of the year after April. Yep. So why all of a sudden now is Boone deciding to give him a rest? That's the only reason why I asked the question.
Well, I think it's where they are in the season, and there was a day off before. My guess is he's back in today. But with the day off, he likes to give people days off where there's another one attached to it. So maybe he did that like that, and maybe they saw something. Like I say, they can predict, and maybe they just think right now was a good time coming out to the coast, just sit him for a day. I'm sure he's be back there. What I do like about what Volpe is doing is that he doesn't let it hurt him defensively. And he's made some great plays during this. And it's, is it age? I don't know. Is it sophomore slump? I don't know what it is. But I think it was a good idea. My guess is he's back in there today.
Yeah, I may have done it a little bit more frequently earlier, like intermittently throughout, once he cooled off after a great start. My thing with Volpe is, and I believe in him. I believe in his approach, I believe in his work ethic, I believe in his character, I believe in his defense, I believe in his speed. But now, going into year three, he's not a power guy per se, he's not a high average guy. Like, by year three, I would have expected to have more of a feel for who he really is going to be.
Well, this is real year two, right?
I'm saying going into next year, though.
Oh, well, let them finish this year first. I mean, I think the expectations were so high with Anthony Volpe, and last year some of them were met, that I don't think he could ever live up to that. And I don't know. It's really hard to work on something and change something during the season. I mean, by year three, you really should know what someone is. And I don't think we'll know that about Volpe until next year. Were the expectations so high for this kid? He's going to be the next Jeter, and he's from New Jersey, and he's going to be whatever. To me, this all started when they moved him out of the number nine spot. He was doing perfectly well there. And then they had no leadoff hitter anymore, so because DJ got hurt. So they put him up there, and then for me, that's when it all came back and all started. And now he's got to get it going in the other direction again, if he can.
There's no question. We'll start wrapping things up. Susan Waldman every Wednesday with us, BT and Sal, throughout the entire, hopefully a long postseason run. Just a little tip of the cap toward history here. I know that you revere it like both Sal and I do. I mean, we love the game. We've been around the game. You're there every night at stadiums. So after Seattle, it's off to the Coliseum, which is either charming or an absolute dump, depending upon your perspective. I've been there a lot. I've been there for Jets Raiders. I've been there for A's. I've probably been there about 15 times, and I put it more on the charming side, even though it is disgusting. Are you going to miss it? I mean, that's where the flip play was with Jeter. A lot of history there. And when that place is crowded and the A's are good, that was a pretty vibrant scene.
You know, and it's both. It's both words. And now it's terrible because they let it go. When I started going there in the late 80s, when they were good, when the Bash Brothers were there, and that horrible thing that Al Davis put in was not there, and you could see the mountains, and you could see the flowers, and it was yellow and purple and beautiful. The place had 50,000 people in it every night. I thought it was wonderful. I just loved every second of it. La Russa's teams, you could go out there. The grass was a little longer. It was great stuff. They had the grass a little longer because Ricky liked to bunt. And when Ricky Henderson liked to bunt, yeah, he liked to bunt it down the third baseline, and he wanted the grass longer. So it was just a beautiful place. I loved it. It was old, but Fenway Park is old, and I love that. And Wrigley Field is old, and I love that as a fan. And it was wonderful. And then Al Davis put that monstrosity in, and all of a sudden the mountains were gone, and it was cold. And they sold the team, and the guy wasn't putting in the money team. And now there's possums living in the radio booth, which I love possums, but I hope they're still there when I get there. Gary, it scared the heck out of Gary Cohen when he was there for the first time. I had to tell him they're lovely. They eat bad things. Leave them alone. They won't hurt you. They're lovely. He said, but they're so ugly. I said, no, they're charming. Anyway, it's both. And I will miss those 80s and early 90s trips there. I love it. Now it's hideous, and it's a shame. It's really awful because you saw the Oakland Raider fans. They're great fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great fans. And they treated those A's teams like they treated the Raiders. You'd come in at 2:00 in the afternoon and they're out there tailgating in the parking lot.
It's awesome.
It was a wonderful place, and I'm sorry about the whole thing.
Me too. And you're talking about Mount Davis. For those who don't know, you used to have a real look at the Oakland Hills, and then obviously
the flowers.
Yeah.
He wanted, and to keep them there, and he lied to them too. So to keep them there, he made them put stands, and it covered the whole view, and it's too high, and it's awful, and it turned it into this
gross
joke of a bowl. It was horrible. So it was both charming, and now it's a dump.
Got it. And it's not just the stadium, but sadly, it's really a decaying American city, which was once very vibrant. So there's a lot of sadness when I think about the city of Oakland. I'm with you.
There is, because they've tried. They've tried very hard out there, and I hope they can turn it around, but now they've got no sports teams, and I don't know what's going to happen.
You know, Susan, I love having you on. I love listening to you, because we always learn something, but I did not realize today that I'd be learning that possums are okay. You mean those nasty looking animals
wonderful
to get in the garbage?
Yeah, they can't help it that they're lovely. I mean, they're ugly. They can't help it. It's not their fault. They don't just eat garbage. They eat bad things. They eat mosquitoes, and they eat bad critters that do bad things to your garden.
Can they eat criminals?
And your dogs. Do they what? I've never asked.
I'll say, could they? We got a lot of them. Get rid of them.
I have lots of possums up where I live, and they're just there. And have you ever seen a possum playing dead?
Yes.
Yes, it's scary, isn't it?
Yes.
I've had a couple and have gone to go get a shovel to bury it, and they're gone by the time I get the shovel. They even fool my German shepherds.
Wow.
They never touch them, yeah.
Susan.
They're great little critters.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, now maybe I'll be okay with them instead of being running the other way when I see them taking out the garbage at night.
They won't hurt you.
Okay, that is good to know. I am, just so you know, let's see, November, are you free like November 15th, Strip House in the city so we could celebrate Juan Soto signing with the Mets?
Okay, I don't eat meat. So
Well then, no steakhouse. Can we do like an Italian
pasta?
Place or something? Yeah, maybe we'll do a nice Italian spot.
Okay, I don't eat wheat. I don't eat.
What do you eat? What do you eat? We're learning even more here. What is it? Just fish? You want to go to sushi spot?
Fish. Okay. Chicken.
I love sushi.
Turkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sushi.
Okay.
I love sushi.
Right, okay. Good sushi spot. Yeah. For that, BT.
I love sushi. Have sushi once a week. My daughter loves it.
Go.
Big
all
sushi
right.
family, no doubt.
All right. You pick a sushi spot. I'll be there.
You're
all
the right. best, Susan.
November. You think he's going to sign by November?
Susan, he's nuts. You know.
I mean,
you know
I was just
this.
Being
on.
Ambitious, Susan. Ambitious. Maybe December, who knows?
Just like Yamamoto. Susan, awesome spot. Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you next week.
Thank you, Susan. She's awesome.
Yeah,
and I just listen, possum are not aggressive. Their open-mouthed, defensive hissing is merely a bluff to look vicious. So kind of like you. So kind of like you.
Yeah,
you talk
right.
tough and, you know, there's nothing backing it up.
That is true. Yeah. Did I say that? I didn't mean it. Oh, hey, Pete, what a big home run you hit last night, buddy.
That's great. I tell you what, I'm happy we're doing this with Howie and Susan.
Yeah.
I love it. So it's really old school, but I think, you know, given the stretch run, given the viability, obviously, for the Yankees, who look like they're going to win this division, the Mets are playing well. This is fun. 888-888-1019. It is BT and Sal on the Fan coming up. Okay, now my take on what Juan Soto said is a little different than Susan's take. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. All right there, Sally boy. Get to the Soto stuff coming up. Very interesting. It's BT and Sal. Back to the calls. Well, 888-808-1019. So, you know, I'm saddened by what's happened in Oakland. And it's just a quick follow-up on the conversation about the Coliseum with Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I always find it comforting. And because I think it, even though it doesn't really change how old you are, but when you have, like, an old stadium that's still around, it's going to sound odd. And like, in my mind, I'm like, eh, how much older can I really be getting if so-and-so, if they're still playing at Candlestick Park or at the Oakland Coliseum or whatever the venue might be? It stinks. It stinks. Like, I love, and it's hideous, and it's gross, and it smells, and it's dirty, and there's not a bar or anything to do near it. It's awful. And it's just a slab of concrete that has decayed, sadly, year by year. But I like to still have a couple of old stadiums, and now with the Coliseum going away, we're not going to have any more.
Yeah, I mean, I love the old stadiums because I grew up watching them. So, I mean, that's like life, though. You get older, everything changes, you evolve. And before you know it, yeah, you're not here anymore. I mean, other way to say, yeah, the stadiums go first, and then eventually will go with it. So when you start to see those, but that's what you get. Ultimately, that's the point, right? Like, you want it to stay the same because that's how you remember it when you were a kid. When you're getting a little bit older, it's nice. When things start to change, you realize the reality is it's different. We're getting older. It's not the same as it was. Life's moving on. Yeah, and one day it's a stadium, the next.
I mean, would you rather watch a playoff game this year at Shea or at Citi?
1,000% Shea.
Of course.
Yeah, I love
Shea
Stadium.
Where do you think I'd rather be?
Shea, of course.
The new stadium or the old stadium?
No, old Yankee Stadium.
The old one.
The new stadium.
And I love the new one.
They're nice. That's why Wrigley Field is one of my favorite places on earth. Why Fenway Park, same thing. I love those both. Oh, yeah, but what about PNC Park or Pac Bell or whatever it's called now? Yeah, those are great ballparks. They're nice.
Yep.
But nothing compares to the history that Wrigley Field or Fenway Park has. That's why I enjoyed going to Oakland. I only went for the first time a few years ago because I watched it my whole life. Whether it's, as Susan referenced, the late 80s with the Bash Brothers, a team I grew up liking, those Oakland A's with McGuire and Canseco and everybody else. Whether it's the postseason in the 2000s with the Yankees and the A's, all those games. You throw in the Raiders a little bit as well. But there's history there. Years, many years of history there. Yeah, one day we'll look at Citi Field or the new Yankee Stadium is that, I guess, but
I
miss the old stuff.
Yeah, and you go to the Coliseum, for those of you who have been there, and that's, she laid it out well. For Al Davis to come back to the Bay Area and leave L.A., he had to convince, he needed suites, he needed luxury suites. So they call it Mount Davis, and it's in center field, and the sprawling, rolling, beautiful East Bay Hills are obscured. You can't see it. It's just an eyesore. But you go to the stadium, and up on the upper deck, they kind of tarp it off because they just don't get enough people.
Yep.
But you look up there.
They got like the retired numbers
up there.
Yeah,
well, that's
there.
Where I was going. Not only do they have some of the biggest names in the history of the sport, but almost every one of them is tied to the Yankees. Reggie's up there.
Catfish.
Ricky's up there. Catfish is up there. The only one, to my recollection, that's not is Eckersley.
Hmm.
Who's the second best closer of all time behind Mariano?
I don't remember the others.
I think it's only four.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean they've had Sal Bando and other great players when they won back-to-back championships in the early 70s, but Maguire, Canseco, but no, their main players, their main I might be missing one, I don't think so. Like Dave Stewart's not there. It's Ricky, it's Catfish,
right.
It's Reggie, and it's who's the fourth one that I just omitted there? It is Eckersley, Reggie, Catfish, and Ricky. I mean, think about those names, man.
Yeah.
Reggie's maybe the most clutch postseason player of all time. Ricky's the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. Eckersley's the second best closer of all time. And Catfish not only was amazing, but he was also a pioneer in terms of free agency. It's sad. And then they're going to go to Sacramento, and then they'll go to Vegas, and it's going to be like just a Vegas homogenized thing. I don't know.
One thing I did see on that yesterday, we talked about it, just a similar note where you have these franchises with their history, and now it's going to change. The Oakland A's, as we knew them, are going to be done, and eventually that's it. You had in the NBA, the Seattle Supersonics, they moved to Oklahoma City, and then yesterday I saw that if the NBA was to grant Seattle an expansion team, they would get their history back, which is cool. Like, that's nostalgic. And they get their own, as they should, just like it happened with the Hornets. They moved to New Orleans, then the Bobcats were born, but then they had a different history until it became one where the New Orleans Hornets meshed with the Bobcats, became back the old Charlotte Hornets again, and then the Pelicans became a new franchise. It's just, I mean, look, it's ever-changing. When it first started happening, I didn't understand it. And by the way, it's the same thing with the playoff format. You know, as a kid, you get used to it being one way, then it starts to evolve and change, and well, you know, over 30, 40 years, it's significant compared to where it was.
It's different, but it's not gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big difference.
I know, but think about where we were, as Howie referenced before, like 1988, for example.
Uh-huh.
And for me, that's prime, I was 9 years old in 88. You remember it like that with the two teams winning a division and you playing in the National League Championship Series. Remember, like four teams make the postseason, ALCS, NLCS, that's it.
Yeah.
And think about where we are now.
It's different.
There's so many teams
I forgot
there.
Raleigh, by the way. Raleigh's up there too. Raleigh Fingers. I said that.
I thought we mentioned
him. No, Ricky, Reggie.
Oh, Catfish, I mentioned.
Yeah, Catfish was the other. I mean, hell, the divisions were even back. Different back then. You look at the NL East, you have the Mets. Think about this.
Yeah.
You mentioned 1988, the year the Mets lost to the Dodgers, should have beat them.
No Braves.
No Braves. You had them. They were in the West. You had the Mets, the Pirates, the Expos, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Phillies.
Yeah.
Pirates, different division. Expos gone. Cubs, Cardinals, different division. Yeah. Philly's still there.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
It's why I grew up hating the Cardinals more so than the Braves. The Braves were never, they were in the AL West.
I know.
Till what, 95, right after the strike?
Yes, I believe it was 95. Even the East, obviously, Yankees and the Red Sox. Tigers were there. Brewers were there. The then Cleveland Indians were there and the Orioles. So, yeah, I mean, change is okay. I think I'm just saddened for the people. Because it's one thing to have playoff formats change and things evolve, whatever, free agency, how we consume the game on tablets, devices. I know the world changes. That's fine. But if I'm like an Oakland fan, you lost the Warriors to San Francisco.
Terrible.
You lost the Raiders to Vegas. And it's the Yankee series. And then they have one more series after that. And that's it. Imagine walking into that stadium. And that's it. There's no more teams in Oakland. None. They're all gone.
Wow, what would you do?
It would be heartbreaking.
For us who love sports, and I'm sure there are diehard sports fans out there, obviously, that have no choice. Like, would you just move to another?
No.
Well, what do you mean, move? No? You got no teams.
Wait, hold on. Meaning literally pick up and relocate?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, why not? Everybody else is moving. What are you going to do?
Well, they're moving for different reasons. They're not following sports teams. They're moving to places that fit their politics a little bit better.
You would live in a town with zero sports teams?
I mean, I wouldn't want to, but I mean, if I'm not going to go chasing what are you going to move to Vegas?
Maybe. I mean, I consider everything.
I'm not going to uproot my. I'm assuming at that point my kids are still in school. I'm not going to uproot my kids to go and follow a team that doesn't care about me.
But you're just going to stay there?
Yeah.
With nothing going on?
I'll start my own team.
Without sports, what do we really have?
Nothing.
I mean, that's the point.
Sadness.
Yeah, right.
Honestly.
I'm moving.
Not much.
All right, the A's are out. Honey, pack your stuff. We're going.
Wait. So if the Mets and the Rangers move?
Well, it's not just.
Get those trucks.
It's not just
go
one
ahead,
team.
Go ahead, Cohen. Go to Vancouver.
Think about it. It's not
get
just,
them out of here.
It's not just one team.
I know.
You're
it's
talking
everyone.
About one. They all left.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't think I can handle that.
That's a beatdown. That is as sad as it gets from a sports perspective. All right.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.